Simen Resh Gimel. So starting with Sif Beis, we have here the question of the definition of a tree for purposes of making a bar kriya. We already talked about this extensively when we did the Gemara, so we're not going to go through the whole thing again, but I just want to be mosif an interesting ha'ara. So the Gemara says that when do you make a bari prihaitz? Hecha dechishaklas le leperi, ise legavza, v'hadar mafik. And when do you make hadama? Hecha dechishaklas le leperi, le se legavza, v'hadar mafik. So what does the word gavza mean? So this was a machlokas rishonim. But the Rush held that the definition of gavza means what? Kol davar she'osa peris mishana l'shana nikraitz, aval dav aval kol davar she'ein she'tzarach lezaro b'chol shana nikra pri haaretz. In other words, the question is, do you have to replant it every year or not? How does the Rush understand the word gavza? It means shoresh. In other words, if the roots remain in the ground such that you don't need to replant it, it's a perennial, then it's Isei L'Gavza, and you would make a Bari Prihait. So that's as opposed to Rashi, who translates Gavza differently. However, now that would mean that according to our Gemara, if you just had the Talmud Bavli in Brachos, you would say, let's say that a strawberry would be a Hait. Why? Strawberries produce fruits year after year. However, then the Rash says, the Ode Amar, Omer Simen Acher B'Tosafta. However, B'Tosafta is an alternative Simen, or an additional Simen. I guess, what's the Simen in a Tosafta in Kilayim? Kol Shemotzi Alav Meikaro, Esev Hu. Where are the leaves coming from? Are they coming from the Iker, from the ground, from the roots? Then it's a Esev. But if the leaves grow from the branches, then it's an Elon. So when you read the Rush, you get the impression that there are two criteria, one in the Bavli, one in the Tosefta, and it seems that he's accepting both. In other words, in the end of the day, would you make a Hadam on strawberries? Yes. Why? Because even though it's true, it produces fruits year after year, but nevertheless, the alim grow from the ikr, not from anafim. And therefore, based off of the condition articulated by the Tosefta, it would be a bari pri adama. What's interesting is that if you look at the Torah at the beginning of Resh Gimel over here, he writes that according to the Rush, we only would require the first condition that it be a perennial to make ha'etz. In other words, sounds like you would make ha'etz on strawberries. That's the way he quotes the Rush. I don't know why he's reading the Rush that way. Maybe he read the Rush as the Tosefta has an additional condition, but we don't paskin that way because it's against the Bavli. It's sort of interesting because, again, the way I would have read the Rush is I would have thought he concludes that strawberries are hadama, but the way the Torah seems to read it, it would be ha'etz. Al kaponim l'maisa, we do paskin that strawberries and the like are hadama. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes over here. Sif Beis, al tutim hagdelim b'snam mevarech bar b'hadama. It's not clear if the reason for that is the reason of the Rush, namely the second condition from the Tosefta, or Rashi's reason, which is because the definition of gavza is enough. But that's either way, it's hadama. The Ramah, though, does give the reason, and he quotes the condition of the Tosefta. Delo mikri eitz, alak shemotzi alav meitzo, aval na shemotzi misharashav lo mikri eitz. Fine, so strawberries are hadama. Now, turning to Sif Gimel, so it says there that you make a hadama on maizish. Voseist maizish. So everybody says these are bananas. And why do you make hadama? So if you look at the Gra, and as well as the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Dalet, it says it's the same thing as tutim. In other words, you make hadama on tutim, you make hadama on bananas, it's the same thing because even though they produce fruit year after year, the leaves grow from the ground, not from the branches. Fine. Now, an important question to ask is this psak that tutin, let's say, or bananas are hadama, is that betaras vadai or betaras safik? So one nafkamina would be, let's say you messed up and you made a bori pri ha'et. Another nafkamina we won't really be working on today, but it's important to consider is what about Arla and Eretz Yisrael? But we'll focus on brachos today. So the nafkamina would be, what happens if you mess up and you make a bori pri ha'etz on a banana, you got confused, or on a strawberry? Or another possible nafkamina would be, you made a ha'etz on something else. Could you now eat it? In other words, let's say I made a ha'etz on an apple, and now I want to eat apples and bananas. That's my snack, very healthy. I made a ha'etz on the apple, because usually, let's say you make ha'etz first. Now, am I allowed to make hadam on a banana or not? Right? We already saw that if the correct bracha on a banana is ha'etz, so the Magen Avraham said you can't really make hadama now on the bananas. It's not clear, at least, if you can. We saw the Mishnah Berurah writes that you can't. So that's an interesting question. What would we say in that case? So the Kaf HaChaim writes, it's over here, Sif Katan Zion, that if you by accident made a bori pri ha'etz on strawberries, you can continue eating them. B'diavad will be so mechantaisis and Rami Rundberg that strawberries are ha'etz. The Mishnah Berurah, though, in Sif Katan Gimel over here, writes that if you do that, you could have a little tiny bite of your strawberry, so it won't be a bracha levatala, but you may not continue eating the rest of the strawberry. In other words, we don't really think that this is a ha'etz, so therefore, you shouldn't. Now, the truth is, this relates to that point that we were just talking about before, about the rules being different in terms of different aspects. In other words, we do say have a little bite, so it's not a bracha vatala, even though you would be in violation of achila below bracha on that little bite, al hatzad that it's really hadama, because you're not yotze b'diavad. So even though we saw before the Mishnah Berurah was more nota to want consistency in these rules, that's why he rejected the Taz. Here you see even the Mishnah Berurah isn't being totally consistent. But again, we have this interesting debate between the Kaf HaChaim and the Mishnah Berurah about how whether you could finish the fruit or not. Okay. But either way, it's a suffix to some degree. In other words, the Shita that says that a strawberry is ha'etz is not totally rejected. And therefore, you should, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, at the very least have a little bite of your strawberry. Now, what's interesting is that Sif Gimel L'chor is the very same Shiloh, like the Gra writes in Sif Katan Gimel. But I saw a number of poskim say, you see this in Dirshu Note 11 from Or Letzion, from Ovel Yashiv, that banana is a vadai hadama, not a suffik. That's why we're making an Eretz Yisrael, that's arla. So the kasha is, isn't that so, sir, what the Mishnah Berurah says by strawberries? By strawberries, he said, b'diavad, if you made ha'etz, you should have a little bite. But by bananas, all these poskim, like Rav Yashiv, say, no, it's vadai hadama. Vadai hadama. So, is Rav Yashiv going against the Mishnah Berurah? So I don't know. I don't know what Rav Yashiv would say. But I think you could make the following argument. And maybe you'll tell me it's against the Gra, but I'm not, maybe not. You could make the following argument why bananas are more likely to be hadama than strawberries are. Or, to put it a little differently, why you could argue that a strawberry would be ha'etz, though a banana would be hadama. This is not the mainstream view. But this would explain, since there's a chiluk, why at least some posts get more machalic in this way. How so? What's the logic? The logic is very simple. The logic is, while it's true, bananas and strawberries are very similar in the sense that they produce new plants from the ground each year. The old plant dies and the new growth comes out from the roots. So therefore they should be the same. But there's actually a difference. Because in the case of strawberries, if you remember from the picture we had last time, the new growth comes not from the roots, but from the crown. The crown is a little bit above ground level, and from that crown grows the new growth. So the branches all die each year, but the growth is from the ground. And therefore, you could argue that it is a ha'etz, even if you hold it the Tanai, the Tosefta. It's not so clear, because it's not mamish growing from the roots. Masha'en kein, a banana. Banana is the opposite extreme. Where is the new growth from the bananas? They're not even from the old growth at all. It's not even from the roots. The new growth from the banana is from the suckers. You're looking at me like you never planted anything.
I'm from Virginia.
And you're from Virginia, yeah. You probably grew up on a plantation. You're just not a grow tobacco, I guess. In Virginia, they don't have bananas. So the answer is that suckers are like little babies that grow next to the main tree. You actually have them sometimes in other fruits. You grow a fruit tree. Sometimes near the base of the fruit tree, you'll see some suckers grow, and you want to actually pull those out. You don't want them to harm the mother, the babies to harm the mother. But when it comes to bananas, it's perfect because the babies grow right next to the mother, and they grow up into the new plant. The mother dies, and next year the babies grow. So it sort of looks like it's growing from the sharashim, but it's not growing from the sharashim. It's growing from the suckers. And the suckers aren't the old plants. It's not even growing from the roots. Rather, it's a new plant right next to the old plant. So it looks like a perennial. It functions like a perennial, but it isn't a perennial. It's an annual that produces offspring right next to itself that could grow up into the new thing. So that being the case, then bananas are vatai bori pri adama. And that's why I think Rav Yashiv's stock makes a lot of sense. I think Rav Yashiv is mesupik about arla for strawberries, but for sure bananas is no shy of arla. Why? Because the suckers.
Did they not share any roots with the main plant?
Okay, we need to make you a little louder because nobody's going to be able to hear you. One second.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. Say it again.
Don't the suckers share roots with the main plant? I mean, bananas don't have seeds. So where do the suckers come from?
I don't know. But they share, there's some sharing, but it's still a new thing. It's the offspring. It's not the thing. But you could read more on the details and tell me if I got it right. It says like this. I'll read you the source, one source that I saw. Banana trees do die after harvest. Banana plants take around 9 months to grow and produce banana tree fruit. And then once the bananas have been harvested, the plant dies. This is when the suckers, or infant banana plants, begin to grow from around the base of the parent plant. These suckers can be removed and transplanted to grow new banana trees, and one or two could be left to grow in the plant place of the parent plant. So it actually doesn't sound like you.
Hmm.
So you can do more research and tell me if I'm saying the wrong thing. I have to admit that, yes, my research is quite non-extensive. I think this was I looked at a couple of pages after I Googled it. So maybe I'm saying the wrong thing so you could be Mavar. But okay. Just an interesting parenthetical ha'ara. What about synthetic fruits? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva about this. So this is interesting. He asked the shylight. Shlomo Zalman was like so ahead of the game. Like this was well before anybody was thinking about these things. 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Anyway, Shlomo Zalman's tshuva was, what about if you can design a tree to grow vegetables through genetic modification? In other words, vegetables, you know, they're annoying. You have to make fruits. You plant them every year. So somehow or another, you make a tomato tree. There actually are things like tomato trees. But you come up with a way, peppers, a cucumber tree. I don't know. You genetically modify a tree to produce fruits. I don't want to go into the whole details of the tshuva, which is quite interesting. It's Tanyana Simen Kuf Os Zion. Handasa Genetit. But he writes like this. Lemaisa, you would make a ha'etz on such a vegetable because it grew from a tree. And he distinguishes between this and a gemara that talks about a camel giving birth to a cow, where that cow would be aser to eat, even though it has simane kashrus. You wouldn't be able to eat it. It would be a camel with simane kashrus, but it wouldn't be a cow just because it looks like a cow. But we don't say that by fruits. By fruits, we would say, no, if it grows from a tree, it's a pre-ha'etz, lemaisa. I just had a ha'ara on that. I don't know how lemaisa it is, but ha'ara in light of the other shita that we had from Shlomo Zalman about synthetic smells, that he didn't want to make a borei mine besamim because I assume the problem of the word borei here is incorrect because it wasn't Hashem that created it. This was humanly manufactured, in which case you could have also argued that based off of that shita, if you had a this shouldn't be a borei pri ha'etz because Hashem didn't manufacture this as a pre-ha'etz that was done based off of genetic modifications. But he doesn't make that chaluk, so an interesting ha'ara. Okay, turning to Sif Dalet. So here's an interesting point. If you would have asked me, what is an Ilan Srak? I would have told you that it's a fruit, it's a tree that doesn't produce fruits. That's what I would have said. But you see in Sif Dalet that that's not correct, because it says that you make a shahakol on the peros of an Ilan Srak. So you see that an Ilan Srak can have peros. And they're edible, obviously, because you're making a bracha on them. If it was inedible, if you ate a pine cone or an acorn, you wouldn't make a shahakol, there would be no bracha. So here you have an edible fruit being produced by an Ilan Srak. But it's not mafkia, the shame Ilan Srak. So why is it Srak? So if you look up the Mishnah in Kilayim, you see it's not so simple. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah asks, Perek Vav, Mishnah Hey, Ezehu Ilan Srak. And there are three answers. First answer is what I thought. Kol she'eino osef heros. But there's two more answers. Ben Meir Omer, Hakol Ilan Srak chutz min hazesim vateina. Okay, we'll leave out that sheet for now. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol she'ein kamohu note in sado shlemos, harei ze Ilan Srak. In other words, what is an Ilan Srak? Something that is not cultivated for growth. So if you have an Ilan that's never cultivated, it's never farmed, it's never planted, but it produces a fruit, that is considered an Ilan Srak, right? Like, I don't know, wild berries. You see, wild berries, and let's assume it's a type of wild berries, a species that's never cultivated. It only grows wild. So then, in the realm of Kilayim, that would be an Ilan Srak. So I saw that Mishnah, it's like a Shmak, so now I understand the Simen. The problem is, then I looked at the Parashah Mishnah, Isla Rambam on that Simen, he says, Vein halacha k'rebi meir v'lo k'rebi yos, lo k'rebi meir v'lo k'rebi yos. So one second, no, we don't pass in that way, we follow the Chachamim. The Chachamim goes back to the intuitive definition of Ilan Srak, which is, if it produces no fruits, it's an Ilan Srak. So now, Hadra Kushi L'duchta, what's going on in our Simen? So if you look at the Gra on our Simen, he cites the Yerushalmi from Kilayim that you make a bracha on mine atad bori pri adama. The Gemara there, we saw this Yerushalmi when we learned Tosfos. It talks about hahigin ba'atadin min ilan heim ve'enam kilayim bekarem. The Gemara says, one second, don't. It isn't an Ilan. And the Gemara says, Taman lebracha v'achal lekilayim. So, what's it saying? L'chor it's saying that you make a hadama even though it is a... We're machalik between bracha and kilayim, right? And that's what Tosas proved from here, that le'inyan tut, you should make a bari pri hadama. So I don't understand. So what is the Gra getting from here? In other words, there I don't see what the Shulchan Aruch says. So I'm not sure, but I think maybe the Gra is saying that what we see from there is that we don't follow, we don't see this Chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch, that the peros from an Ilan Srak are shahakol. But what you do see from there is that we don't follow the geder of Ilan for kilayim when it comes to brachos. Okay, so therefore, even though a fruit-bearing tree that isn't cultivated will be considered an Ilan, it won't be Ilan Srak for purposes of kilayim, it's not necessarily true for bracha. So what is the source? What is the Hagdara for brachos? So it seems that the answer is it's Talui in Chashivas. If it's less Chashav, it's Pri Hadama. And we've already seen this in a number of places, that things that are technically speaking a Pri Ha'etz, but are less Chashav, we make a Pri Hadama, and then it's really not Chashav, then we make a Shakol, right? So we saw that for Pilpul and Yaveshta, Pilpul and Retivta, and we saw that by the discussion on the Kafrisin and the like. So we have places. So there's no straightforward makor for the din in the Shulchan Aruch, but there is a makor that we don't follow Dine Kilayim, and therefore we follow Chashivas. And therefore the point of our Shulchan Aruch, this din in the Shulchan Aruch, is when something isn't chashuv, then it would be downgraded in bracha to either hadama or even shahakol. So what conditions are there? What are the conditions? If you look at the Bir Halacha, he says there are two conditions. One of them is in a sense derived from Shitas Rabbi Yossi Linyan Kilayim, right? That something that even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi in Dine Kilayim, but we learn from Rabbi Yossi in Dine Kilayim an interesting shita, which is that a tree that's never cultivated is less chashuv. So that's condition number one. Condition number two, though, is if you have something that's uncultivated but produces delicious fruits, like delicious wild berries, those are still going to be ha'etz. There's a second condition, which is if you can't make can't eat it unless it's cooked, and then it becomes good. So that's also a downgrade, a lack of chashivas. So if it lacks these two things, right? Number one is it's never cultivated. Number two is the fruits that it produces are only edible when cooked or when transformed. Then it's going to be a shahakol. Now, Mechatesi, there are two conditions. So I thought, no, that's not the pshat that there are two conditions. But that's, and there's one condition, which is anything that's inedible raw should really be shahakol, except that when it's not the adai to dahachi, that overcomes that. That gives it the chashivas. And therefore, if you cultivate it, then it's not the adai to dahachi, and then it's ha'etz, even though it's inedible raw. But if it's inedible raw, plus, it's not cultivated, so you can't say the svar not the adai tadachi. So mimela, it's going to be a shahakol. Okay, turning to sif hay. So now we could understand sif hay, that why you make a shahakol on the berries on a hadas, right? So what's the makor for this? When we look at the Beis Yosef and the Gra, an interesting makor that by dalad minim it says that there are two of this dalad minim that produce fruits, namely the lulav and the esrog, and there are two that don't produce fruits. So even if you're going to say linyan kilayim, might have a different hagdara. But like we said, for brachos, we go basar chashivas. And the fact that this medrash, even if it's like an agadic source, tells us that the hadasim are not considered to be fruit-bearing trees, so mimela, we see it's not chashuv. You might cultivate hadasim, but they're cultivated for their reyach, they're cultivated for the mitzvah. They're not cultivated to be motzi peros, and therefore they're shahakol. Those berries, so even though the Gemara and Sukkah, Shabbos, we talked about last year, all talking about people that eat the hadasim berries, but at the end of the day, they lack this chashivos, and therefore those berries are shahakol. Take a look at Mishnah Berurah, Simon Reish Dalid. Sifkat and Yudches and Yudtes, he says something interesting. He says, Asavim, even if they're Gdele Me'elehen and they have a good taste and they don't need Bishol, they're Shahakol. Because only on a pre, when it's gadol me'elav, you make a ha'etz. So you see a similar thing to what you were saying before. In other words, again, even though here both, one of the conditions are met, that condition only works for trees. If you have berries that grow on their own and taste good, then you make a ha'etz. But if you have grasses that grow on their own, even if they taste good raw, you would make a shakal. So I'll tell you a story. I don't remember what happened. Once we were going on a teal with Rastav. So Rastav, Kedarko Bakodesh, anyone zocha to go on teal with him, the whole time he's talking Torah, but like the strangest things that nobody ever thinks about. So, no, not even close. He actually knows something. I just fake it by looking on the internet. Mm. So anyway, I remember walking through a forest once with him or some grasses. He says, Zehu chitat bar. And then chitat bar. Okay? So then he showed us, Achshav ani mefarish mahu limlol melilot. Right? Because you're always talking about, and he showed us all these things. We didn't get to the bracha. Palachor, according to this, what the Mishnah Berurah says over here, in Reish Dalet Sivkat Yerches, the bracha would have been a shahakol. So next time I see Rastav, I'll have to ask him. Okay. Now, back to Sif Vav. So Agav here, the Magen Avraham says, a tremendous chiddush that's relevant for Bishul Akum. And though there are those that disagree with the Magen Avraham over here, as you saw, the Mishnah Berurah is machriya like the Magen Avraham. So I'll just mention it quickly. If you remember, we talked about this Magen Avraham extensively when we had Shiur and Bishul Akum a number of years ago. But I'll just mention it quickly here. It's quoted, if you want, Bekitzer in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yud Aleph. He's talking here about Zangvil. And he says, what's the halacha by Zangvil? So that is, what do you call that? The cumin. What? Not cumin.
Ginger.
Ginger, yeah. So ginger, afilu rikcha ovde galilim. So the gayim cook ginger. Ein bo mishum bishalakum. Why? It's nechal chai. What do you mean? Nobody eats raw ginger. No. Al yedei ta'aroves tzukach. So what does that mean? We know that the basic rule of Bishul Akum is that anything that's nachal kamo shu chai is not included in the gzeira of Bishul Akum. Now, what about ginger? You could eat it raw, but not plain. If you want to eat raw ginger, what do you need to do? You need to mix it with a lot of sugar. So now the question is, if the guy cooked ginger, right? He makes ginger soup. Okay? Ginger soup is delicious. But is it subject to the laws of Bishul Akum? Do we say ginger is nechal kamo shu chai? Well, the answer is that since you could eat ginger raw by mixing it with a lot of sugar, then it's considered nechal kamo shu chai. Now, there's a kash on this. Kash is, what's a lacha, let's say, by raw fish that could be eaten if they're salted? But otherwise, you can't eat them plain raw, but you could cook them. And a guy cooks raw fish. He doesn't salt them. So the answer is it's aser to eat them, because they're not considered nachas kmo shu chai. So if a guy salts the fish, then it's mutter to eat those fish, because it's not cooked. And not only that, but if the guy salts it and then cooks it, it's mutter to eat as well. Because since in this case, before it was cooked, it was already edible, because it was salted, then it is not subject to Bishul Akum. But if the guy just cooked it, it's aser, right? The fact that you could have eaten it without cooking through salting doesn't make it nechal kamo shu chai. So you could ask Akasha, that goes against his Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that I can't eat ginger raw, though I can infuse it with sugar, but infusing it with sugar, if I did that, but I didn't infuse it with sugar. I just cooked it. I just made my ginger soup, right? I didn't infuse it with sugar. So why isn't it subject to Bishul Akum? So the answer, L'chaira, is that Fish could only be made edible through a transformative process, such as salting. Ginger is edible even with a non-transformative salt process, like mixing them with sugar. That's not transformative, and therefore it's still considered nechal kamoshu chai. Good. Beautiful chiluk. So this shaila, this chiluk comes up in a couple of interesting bishul akum shailas. One of them is whether or not there's bishul akum on cranberries, for example. So Rabbi Belsky said, there is no bishul akum on cranberries. And this comes up a lot, apparently. Why not? Because cranberries on their own are extremely tart. But if you eat them with enough sugar, then they're edible even raw. So, or either eating them with sugar or other sweet things, right? So Rabbi Belsky, another person that knows everything about everything, not just by Googling it, so Rabbi Belsky found two recipes that use raw cranberries. So he said cranberries are nechal kemo shehu chai and therefore not subject to bishul akum. Now, even though that's not the norm, and he brought a raya from ginger. That's his raya. So Rabbi Schechter wrote back. He said, I disagree. That's just because you could find two crazy recipes. Okay, it's mishugana, right? Imachuz ha'ochlim oso tari hu kokach katan she'en litchashev bo. So then I don't think that's relevant. So just because you could find two mudna recipes doesn't prove anything. Rybelsky said no. There's nothing wrong with it. Anybody who tasted this would think it's delicious. Most people don't do it. They don't know about it or whatever. So therefore he thought it was okay. And then Rabbi Schechter says, I agree, because kvar nafutzu me'od l'achol krezins. U'mikoach ze kvar nefach lios nechal kamo shuchai. Even though krezins are sugar infused, they're not just eaten with sugar. So he thought that was enough, even though it's sort of interesting because you could have thought that was a transformative process. But anyway, we talked about this extensively by Bishul Akum, so we're not going to go back over it. It comes up also by raw corn. Okay, turning to Siv Zayin. Besamim shchukim umiuravim in sukar, habesamim ikar, umivarech aleim, kigon birchas osam besamim. So why are the besamim ikar? Maybe you'll say, because it's the rov. But it's not true. And the Mishnah Berurah says this explicitly in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, even if the besamim are the miyat. So first of all, here we have another example of a case where we don't follow rov, where something is clearly the ikar, even though it's the miyot, we assume that's koveh the bracha. There are other examples that this comes up. So what about a creamy peanut butter? So our sif says if the normal consumption is through pulverization, then it doesn't lose its bracha. That's based off of the Trumas Hadeshen that we quoted before. So I would have thought creamy peanut butter is hadama. However, if you look at Dirshu note 17, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that it's going to be shahako, because he says most peanuts are turned into peanut butter. That's not so clear, because, again, according to Wikipedia, it's about 50-50. But then Shlomo Zalman says something else, questionable. Matthias, he says, even if it's not rov, people think raw peanut butter, raw peanuts or whole peanuts taste better. Again, I'm not so sure about the Matthias. It happens to be that it's sort of interesting because remember the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham Paskind that we would agree to the Rambam if it's Isa, right? I would have thought peanut butter is like Isa. So Shlomo Zalman is not assuming that. He's assuming it would be Shahakol. I assume he's saying because you wouldn't be able to identify peanuts as the source for peanut butter, even though it's like Isa. So this also gets back to the question of Orchayu Bahachi, does it mean rov? The Mishnah Berurah earlier mentioned rov. Here he doesn't. Here he just says Orchayu Bahachi. It almost sounds like if it's normal to totally pulverize them, it would be Haetz or Hadama. But if you look back at Mishnah Berurah, Resh Beis Sifkata Mem Dalid, he says Rov in Rov Achilasan Oso Peros. That seems to be more the way Shlomo Zalman is reading it. Okay, we're out of time, so we're going to be done. We are going to Sunday, Im Yirtz Hashem, do lots of Simin Resh Dalid. It's going to be very exciting. Make sure you finish it, or at least do the first half. Okay, stop here. Yeah.
My son, peanut butter. What generally say alcohol? Yes, maybe.
So if it's chunky peanut butter, for sure it's Hadama. I think. To me, the pashtus is all peanut butter would be Hadama. But what? No, I don't think that would be relevant. Somebody wants to take a bite, a spoon of peanut butter.
It's defining it as not alcohol. You know, I don't know. It's a something. Can't you make a revolution of China?
What, you have to show me.
Revolution said by Spina. If it's used for shame, death, and not alcohol, it's not alcohol. So, according to Ramosha,
I have to look back. I don't know.
You remember he said, like, you have to make sure that it's always a different.
I have to look back. I don't know. I mean, they suffic lo nafka. It's hard to not make a shahakol.
I wasn't sure, like, you know, is or that.
Yeah, it's unclear. That's why I think it's a suffic, because if you, the research that I saw, it's about 50-50. So if it's not a rov, and the Mishnah Berurah says you need a rov, so that's why it would be a shahakol. I would have thought that even if it's a miut, it should be hadama, because this is mamish like Isa, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Magen Avraham, that Isa doesn't lose the bracha. But again, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that since it's non-identifiable, so that's why shahakol.
Although, is it Mishnah, I mean, is it cooked? In which case, even the Magen Avraham would agree that the Rambam would agree if it was cooked.
I think it's roasted first, but...
So I'm just wondering if that meaning even the Magen Avraham would agree with that, or that the Rambam would agree, because this wasn't just ground down all your day.
I don't know why you would say that.
Because you're saying it couldn't happen before.
They roast them.
So it's not cooked.
Okay, Tzarech Levayer. I would think so.
Will these notes be posted?
Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll post the notes, yes.
We only, in the notes, we only had till Sukkot.